A rich, fruity body with hints of vanilla and a smooth chocolate texture layered over a very long finish. Now, for many, wine tasting and wine appreciation sounds like a foreign language. But there are indeed many different grape varieties. The climate where winemaking grapes grow makes a huge difference, and even the microbes that live in the soil around the roots of the vine also affect the flavour. And with us to explore how, and whether we really can pick up on these subtle and rather delicate viticultural nuances, is Claire Bryant, who, as well as being an expert on how the immune system works, is also a wine specialist, and I'm very pleased to say she has brought some beautiful samples with her. So, Claire, when we actually taste a wine, what's actually going on in the mouth when you're tasting these things?
So we're experiencing a very large, complex chemical reaction. So there are about 400 aromas in wine. So that's the nasal part of the procedure. In each wine, there's at least 27 different organic acids, 23 different types of alcohol, 80 esters and aldehydes, 16 sugars and a long list of vitamins and minerals to name but a few.
You're going to demonstrate some of the principles that are at play when we put wine in our mouth. You've got three little tests for us to do. Yeah. What's the first one?
So the first one is to taste the difference between a tart and a fat wine.
Tart and
yes,
fat.
Yes, tart and fat.
So educated?
Well, what I'm talking about is richness. So you can get some wines taste rich than others. And this is nicely illustrated with Chardonnay. So Chardonnay is a white wine grape, widely grown around the world. It is also very good at taking on the flavours of barrels and oak and various other things. So richness in Chardonnay can involve some or all of the following processes, including the oak. Oak's very important. It gives vanilla, toasty oak, that kind of flavour. There's also a malactic fermentation, which is a secondary fermentation after the primary event, which softens the acid. And there's also lees aging, which is where the yeast, residual yeast particles sort of self-implode and they release some sugars and amino acids, and that also causes richness as well. So our first wine is a tart modern Chardonnay. Okay, so it's from Margaret River. It's called
Western Flame Australia.
Tree. Western Australia, indeed.
You're decanting out little tastette for each of us, a little soupçon for Georgia and I to try.
And so if you smell the Chardonnay, first of all, you will...
Oh, it's very smoky.
It is smoky, yes, it is smoky. And this comes from, because there is some oak in this wine. And you can smell a bit of citrus, you can smell some nutty oak, you can smell potentially the smoky struck match, so that's a good effort. Mm. And then if you taste it, you'll find a lemon citrus. And then moving over to a bit of dried stone fruit, a pear, grapefruit, melon, figs.
Mm, it doesn't quite taste how it smells. If it tasted like it smelled, I think you'd be a bit...
yeah, correct. But then if you take the second version, which comes from South Africa, so this is a Lanzerac Chardonnay from Stellenbosch.
It's much less smelly. There's much less to smell about this one.
Which is interesting.
Stronger flavour as well.
But it's much stronger. Yeah. It's a bigger, it's a fatter, isn't it? It fills your mouth more.
Yeah,
when
that's the point. It's a fatter, more oaked wine.
And is that the oak that's done that? That's given it that
oak,
vanilla? Because
it's
quite a big...
Yeah, it is quite a big
there's
hit.
There's a vanilla hit there and it is fruitier. But it's interesting it smells less.
It smells, yeah, it does. It's a more restrained smell.
So adding the oak gives you those stronger flavours.
And it's a more heavily oaked wine than the first wine we tasted.
Why didn't the strength of the smell match with the strength of the flavour?
It doesn't always do that. Sometimes it also depends upon how long you've had the wine in the glass, the age of the wine. There's a variety of factors that influence the nose. And it's interesting because, in my opinion, South Africa are making some of the greatest Chardonnays in the world.
That will please the Aussies. So the second wine.
So the second one is we're looking at bottle ageing. What happens is that the wine continues to react from birth to being in the bottle. And this is really nicely illustrated by Riesling, which is another white wine grape. It's generally light in alcohol and has a refreshing, high, fruity, natural acidity. But as it ages, it has the ability to take on petrol notes, as in
really?
What you put in the car. Yeah,
I've heard
this.
I think it's quite
You've not got that one yet.
What's the octane rating of this?
Well, not very high. So it's due to a trimethyl dihydronaphthalene, and that...
But that's mothballs, isn't it, naphthalene?
Naphthalene,
that
really absolutely.
Is.
And it comes from some precursors that undergo acid hydrolysis. And the presence of these precursors really determines the wine's ability to age. And so a good Riesling will have these compounds to do this. So the first one is a young Riesling. So it's the Magpie Estate Rag & Bone Riesling, made in 2017, so it is young. Got a lovely perfume nose, if you smell it.
It's peachy.
It is. It's limey, red.
You've got a very good nose, Georgia. Yeah. You should be into wine tasting.
You should.
I am.
No, well, I mean professionally, not just amateur
is
in
that
your
an
living
option?
Room. No, you're right.
Yeah, perfumed, limey, red apple nose, hence a pineapple, floral.
That's a nice wine. But you're saying that's a young wine, so that's this has not been wine. In the bottle very long.
No, so 2017.
Okay.
It's a nice lively fruit, good acidity.
And we compare that
limes.
With?
So this is a Peter Lim and Wigan Eden Valley Riesling. It was made in 2011. And if we give it a sniff...
It really does smell of petrol.
I find it even more kerosene than petrol, actually.
If I put a match in this, would it explode?
I've never tried that reaction.
If I'm honest, though, having tasted this, I prefer the young one.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is that, so, do people tend to break down into two
cans?
Yeah,
it does divide people.
So why has sitting in the bottle done that?
So what is just literally an acid degradation of the carotene precursors, which then leads these precursors to take on the chemical that then gives you a sort of petrol-y, diesel-y type smell.
So there is this ongoing chemical process they're in the bottle.
Yeah.
So is there a sort of rule of thumb as to when a good time to drink a wine is? Do we know how different wines age? Because sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not going to work.
It's complicated.
To keep them longer, isn't it?
You can predict according to how a wine is made, and this is something that a lot of the winemakers actually specialise in, so they'll give you drinking dates. And it very much depends upon the wine, the winemaker, and the vineyard.
Shall we do our final test?
Our final test is, this time we're looking at the combination of wine and food. So we have a red wine. It's a Rapasso Valpolicella. So it's an interesting wine because you partially dry the grapes first, then they ferment, and then they undergo a second fermentation. And
why should that make a difference then, drying them?
Drying them increases the sugar.
Right.
So you get a sweeter wine. And this wine has a sort of perfumed, rich nose with some cherry and oak. And if you taste it,
cheers,
you get a kind of chocolate, spicy, bittery type taste.
It's certainly got the spice there.
And you can taste a little bit of sugar as well.
Peppery.
So now you take a piece of cheese.
We're being proffered some Shropshire blue cheese. This is...
Oh, no, blue cheese.
I don't know if we really like blue cheese. This is not a bad one.
Okay, so now try the wine again.
Okay.
Ooh.
The wine is enhanced, or the combination.
The combination.
So it becomes sweeter, yeah.
It brings out the sweetness and it brings out the difference in the flavour. And that's because two different effects going on. So when you take the cheese, it's fatty. It coats your mouth, it lubricates your mouth. Whereas the wine, because of the tannins in wine, they cause an astringency. And what that effectively is the tannin molecules bind to the proteins in your mouth. This then makes your mouth feel dry. It kind of puckers up your tongue and puckers up your cheeks. And reduces the lubricant proteins that are present in saliva. So by having a combination of the oily lubricant with the astringency of the wine, you're then arriving at a new balance. So you change the flavour of everything in your mouth at the time.
I think on that note, we've probably got everyone salivating. But Claire, thank you very much. Claire Bryant from the University of Cambridge, an immunologist and erstwhile wine specialist. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Claire.